Thick brown muck sucked at Mildred's boot soles as she struggled around the denuded perimeter of the lake. She couldn't run through the mud, it was too deep. It made her boots sink in past her ankles, which slowed her even more. Everybody was having the same problem. Inside the lake's shoreline, the few remaining trees were like gigantic stripped bones jutting from the wet earth.
Mildred, what could have caused this?
Ugh, probably some localized toxicity or disaster. Perhaps springing from Skydark. Of course, it might be sitting over a volcanic vent, though there's no smell of sulfide.
Something sure smells, though. Like a butcher shop or something.
Mildred noticed other scattered boot prints and deep wheel tracks in the soft ground. Someone else had been here recently. While the others trudged slowly ahead, she turned and glanced up at the summit. She saw Ryan coming down the steep road in great strides, his long blaster in his hand. There was no sign of the Rousties yet. She took the opportunity to lever open the cylinder of her ZKR-551 and dump out its two spent shells. She thumbed in a pair of live bullets, then snapped the cylinder shut. This done, she stuck her hand back in her fatigue pants bag pocket and counted the loose 38 caliber cartridges. There were only eight. She suddenly caught a flash of green out of the corner of her eye. Out over the lake, an eerie green seemed to climb from the water to the sky.
Oh, I must be losing it!
She shook her head to clear it. Perhaps the heat and exertion were making her mind play tricks on her. But there were more flashes, much stronger ones. Even in broad daylight, they underlit the clouds of dense fog that were rising like steam from the placid surface.
Did you see that?
Yeah, Millie, I saw it. I don't understand it, but I saw it. What's going on out there?
Christy, Dean, Lilu, and Jack had momentarily stopped too, and were staring at the micro-weather system.
It's kinda pretty. I like the green lights.
Look!
Jack pointed at the water under the cloud. A strange sort of disturbance had appeared directly under it. A riffling on the water. A dark, churning circular patch about 150 feet wide, as though billions of tiny fish were schooling. Or large predatory creatures below were herding them into a vast panicked ball.
This is definitely not right. Everybody, move away from the water!
The others didn't move. They all seemed mesmerized by the strange, localized phenomenon. All of them but Doc. The old man wasn't even looking at the lake. He was staring fixedly at his own muddy boot tops and mumbling to himself. Then, a blast of withering heat sucked Mildred's breath away as the low-hanging clouds began to surge toward them.
Fuck! Triple red! Run!
Still nobody moved. Deep shadow swept over them as the clouds blocked the sun.
God damn it!
Mildred slogged over to Lilu and Dean, grabbed their arms, and tried to pull them away from the shoreline. Too late. The snow came down slanting, driven sideways by the scorching wind. But the pale yellow precipitation wasn't snow. It was hard like tiny hail or birdshot, hard enough to bounce a foot in the air as it hit the mud. The deluge of spores peppered Mildred's plaited hair, head, face, and shoulders. She held her breath. Dean and Lilu went rigid under her hands. Though she used all her strength, she couldn't budge them. They seemed to weigh a ton each, their feet rooted to the earth. When she took in the expression on the children's faces, she was horror-struck. Their mouths hung down slack, their eyes opened wide, the pupils hugely dilated. She knew if she were going to help them, she had to get clear of the downpour, to escape its effects and regroup. The deep mud sucked at her boots as she tried to run from the bank. The cloud moved with her, tracking her. And along with it came the pale snow. Mildred looked back over her shoulder. Through the blizzard, she saw Ryan coming on the double. He'd reached the shoreline and was hurling himself through the muck. She wanted to wave him off, but he was still too far away for her to warn, or for him to help her. She managed another few steps before her legs gave out. Then she sucked down air, and her brain melted. As Ryan charged down from the top of the road, he took in the desolation surrounding the tiny lake. He also saw the companion standing there on the bank, doing the opposite of what they were supposed to be doing, running for hard cover. Instead, they were gawking. Under the strange clouds, something twinkled. Then flashes of green reflected in the lake's mirror surface. He heard the snap and crackle of lightning. A fraction of a second later, there was thunder. The unnatural was natural in Deathlands. The unexpected was to be expected. But this storm caught Ryan completely off guard. The lightning was green and blindingly bright, spearing upward from the water to the billowing mist. The electrical discharge's savage intensity filled him with dread. He had led his friends into something far worse than a box canyon.
Nuke in hell!
As fast as he ran, he couldn't beat the clouds. Blown by a jet wind from hell, they rushed from the lake to the land. Waves of pale yellow snow sheeted over the companions, who, except for Mildred, still didn't move. The woman was trying to drag Dean and the little girl away from the shoreline. After a moment, she gave up, and before Ryan could reach her, turned to run for the lower slope. The hailstorm engulfed her. For an instant, she disappeared behind a pale curtain. When the curtain shifted, she reappeared. Ryan saw her stagger and fall. She didn't get up. By the time Ryan got to the bank, the snowfall had already stopped. The earth around the waterline was heaped with foot-high yellow drifts, which seemed to shrink even as he walked through them. The tiny particles crunched like rice underfoot. They were rapidly dissolving into nothing. Over his head, the clouds dissipated into fine cottony wisps. Along the bank, the smell was of a slaughterhouse. The storm had been short-lived, but devastating. All the companions had been struck to stone, either left standing, riveted to the boggy ground, or face down in the muck like Mildred. His own heart trip-hammering, Ryan checked Dean's throat for a pulse. He felt the steady beat under his fingertips.
Oh, thank God. Shit!
When he looked up, he saw a half dozen chillers spilling over the lip of the summit, charging down the road toward him. For the chillers' short-barreled blasters, the range was extreme. They couldn't hit the side of a barn. Bullets smacked into the mud, plunking into the water. Ryan glanced over his shoulder to see if anyone had been wounded. It was hard to tell. One thing was certain, though. If they were still alive, they weren't going to be for long. The Rousties were rapidly closing the distance. Ignoring the hot lead screaming by him, Ryan slogged over the nearest dead tree. He flipped up the lens cap on his scope and used a forked limb as a shooting rest. Aiming the Steyr uphill, he took a stationary lead on the man running in the middle, holding the sight post way low to compensate for the shooting angle. He tightened down on the trigger. He rode the rifle's recoil wave, cycling the bolt action to put another live round under the hammer, recovering his target as it ran headlong into the heavy caliber bullet. The chiller's arms flung wide and loose. The man's hand blaster went flying as he was hurled backward. Stone dead. The chillers kept coming like the danger hadn't sunk in yet. Ryan aimed low and fired again. His second target slowed a fraction of an instant before the firing pin snapped. Instead of running into the arc of the speeding bullet and meeting it square in the chest, he met it square in the shin. His right leg buckled under him, the long bone shattered, and he sprawled on his face in the road. The others took cover then, scurrying behind the boulders on either side of the road. As Ryan cycled the Steyr's action, he was hit from behind by an intense blast of heat and another wave of rolling thunder.
Oh, shit!
Ryan looked back to see that the strange clouds had already reformed in the middle of the pool and were rushing toward him, pushed by the hot wind.
Shit!
As the yellow substance began to fall over the lake, he rushed to Dean's side. The boy still stood like a statue, seemingly as dead as one of the stripped trees. Ryan was trying to scoop him up into his arms when the spore blizzard swept over them. He took a breath, and he smelled flowers. A billion flowers. It was as if he'd been dropped into fields of ripe blossoms that stretched in all directions as far as his eye could see. The concentrated sweet perfume overloaded and short-circuited his nervous system. No longer aware of the flurry of bullets zipping past him, Ryan dropped the Steyr into the mud. With the enemy long blaster controlling the short stretch of road leading up to the summit, Krekka and crew had had no choice but to bust brush. After the ringleader split the Rousties into two groups, they circled through the trees from opposite sides of the road, coming out on the flat bit of table rock that was the mountain's peak. Cotter and company were nowhere in sight. Peering over the summit's edge, Krekka saw their quarry down by the little lake. Krekka paid no attention to the clouds or the thunder and lightning. He immediately dispatched 6 of his chillers to go after the bastards. He kept the best long-range shots with him and ordered them to fire sparingly to keep Cotter and the others pinned along the shore. Even though he was expecting the long blaster to bark again, when it came, he flinched at the sound. Out of the back of one of the rousties on the road beneath him came a puff of red mist. His shredded lungs and heart gusted from a fist-sized exit hole. The big bore rifle slug exploded against the sandstone. Before Krekka or his men could react, the long blaster spoke again. A second chiller was hit in the leg and fell to the ground. The rousties ducked for cover as the wounded man crawled after them, screaming. Then the sharpshooters Krekka had lined up along the summit resumed firing at the man behind the dead tree. The roar of their weapons drowned out the thunder from below. Krekka saw Cotter drop his weapon. The Carney Master completely misread what was going on beside the lake. Because all the companions were standing still or were down, he thought they'd given up, that they were surrendering.
Stop! Stop firing!
But we've got him cold! We can cut him to pieces from here!
The Magus wants Cotter and his son alive. He's made big plans for them. Do you want to tell the Magus how you spoiled his fun?
The chiller's face blanched, and he shook his head. Truth be told, Krekka wanted to take them alive, too. He intended on doing some serious prolonged ass-whipping before he turned them over to old Steel Eyes. The Carney Master yanked Jackson to its feet and led his men down the hill, stepping over bodies of their fallen comrades. The man wounded in the leg had already bled to death. For the first time, Krekka really took in the rundown shantytown below. It looked deserted. He wondered why the companions hadn't tried to make it down there. They could have at least made a fight of it then.
Keep your blasters ready. They're tricky bastards.
Thunder rolled from the clouds over the lake. Krekka ignored it. Jackson, on the other hand, became highly agitated at the noise. The Sticky started hopping about nervously from one foot to the other. It strained at the chain, digging furrows in the mud as it tried to get closer to the water's edge. It sputtered and coughed on its own outpouring of saliva. Krekka gave the little thing a hard, snapping jerk on the choke collar to bring it back in line. Jackson turned and bit him.
Bastard!
He wrenched back his torn, bleeding left hand and dropped the end of the leash. He managed to keep hold of his M16, but no way could he shoulder it and take aim at the fast-moving little mutie. Jackson made a beeline for the lake, dragging the length of chain behind it. Without a pause, it jumped in feet first, and then started to run, crashing into deeper water toward the mini squall that was forming. Krekka had never seen the Sticky swim before, and it turned out that it couldn't. After Jackson had battled its way to neck height in the water, its hairless head slipped under, popped up, and went under again. Big swirls suddenly appeared all around it. Brown back and tail fins knifed up through the surface. The smallest of the fish circling Jackson looked to be about 6 feet long. The little Sticky was buffeted and knocked about by lunging fish. It surged backward, its head throwing a bow wave as it was half lifted into the air by something huge beneath the surface that had a hold of the little beast.
They're eating the ugly little fucker, tearing the living shit out of him.
Krekka cradled his injured hand. The needle teeth had punctured the webbing between his thumb and forefinger. It looked as if it had been caught in the gears of a machine. He was lucky not to have lost a few fingers. But his investment in Jackson was a total write-off. Only a triple-stoop droolie or someone contemplating suicide turned his back on a Sticky that had tasted human blood.
They can have him. It'll save me the cost of a bullet.
The Carney Master walked away, leaving Jackson to its fate. As he moved closer to the companions, he waved with his assault rifle for the chillers to follow.
Are they dead? Or playing dead or what?
Krekka didn't answer. His quarry seemed to be frozen in position, but he could see the slight rise and fall of their chests. They were breathing, and their closed eyelids twitched, like they were asleep on their feet and dreaming.
Not dead.
Krekka moved in for a closer look at Cotter.
What are you playing at, One-Eye?
There was no response. Krekka jammed the muzzle of his M16 against Ryan's cheek. Still no response.
They sick? If not, I'll make them sick.
With that, the chiller slammed JB in the lower back with the sole of his boot. The impact knocked the armorer off his feet. He fell into the mud near the waterline, but didn't move.
What the hell's going on?
On the lake, another storm was brewing. Green lightning crackled and lit up the bleached trees. Krekka was so preoccupied with Cotter that he didn't bother to look over his shoulder. He missed seeing Jackson pushed ashore by the pod of lungfish. The little sticky crawled out of the shallows on its hands and knees, sputtering and gasping.
Let's have a peek at what you've got under this.
Krekka reached out and flipped up Ryan's eye patch.
Rad blast.
Now that is what I call it.
A wave of scalding heat slammed Krekka's back. Then, it started to snow spores, and the Carney Master not only forgot what he was about to say, but he also forgot who he was.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.